as believers. What is my purpose? And I don't want to give no temporal, because buy a car, get a wife, that's all temporal. What's your purpose? And I said, okay, this is where we're going to, that's why I wanted her to share, because when she shared, it's exactly in line with what I'm dealing with. You need to make sure when you're dealing with people that are lost, you need to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, what's the question? What are they dealing with? And if you don't hear anything, be quiet. Let them talk. I'm only learning this now. The Holy Spirit is our partner. He's the one who knows everything. We babble too much, we lose the lost people. We need to give them a chance to talk. And then we need the Holy Spirit a chance to talk to us. And then we talk to them. We're last. We talk last. You think I practice that? I don't practice that. I'm preaching to you. I need to practice it. This is very important that the Holy Spirit talks to me. Listen to this. James Stewart. He's an old guy. He's dead, so he doesn't get any glory. He's in heaven. Well, he has glory. All the glory. James Stewart. The concern for world evangelization is not something tacked on to a man's personal Christianity, which he may take or leave as he chooses. It is rooted in the character of the God who has come to us in Christ Jesus. Thus, it can never be the province of a few enthusiasts, a sideline, or a speciality of those who happen to have a bent that way. It is the distinct mark of being a Christian. You hear that? It's the distinct mark of being a Christian. I know it sounds heavy, but it is. Sharing your faith is the distinct mark of being a believer. Why is it underneath the ground? Why are we afraid? Truthfully, why? Again, a believer's purpose is working in God's harvest. My first point, Christ's food was the harvest. I got to read this to you. This is probably, no, I won't say it's my favorite verse, but this is the verse that blows my mind about Jesus. Really, literally. 31 to 34, and I think I got it on there, so yes, thank you, John. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Here it is. This is mind-boggling, man. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You think about that. That was his sustenance. That's how Jesus kept alive. His food was to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Listen to this. I want to be really, really accurate on the will of God right now. When he said, it's my to do the will. Now, we all have to follow this. So he did it. He activated it. Now we have to put our faith in it. Okay? So this is it. John chapter 6, verse 38 and 40. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Now, this is what we apply. He put it into place. He did the Father's will perfectly. Yes, we already have victory. Everything is laid out. We're co-heirs with Christ. We have everything in Jesus. But we have to active. We have to get into it. And this is how you do it. This is for all. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is for all of life now. Whenever you're struggling, it's not what you do or what you say, it's looking to the Son. That's the Father's will. The minute you look to God, to Jesus, all of us in this room, the minute you open your heart and you look to Jesus and you believe in him, you're doing God's will. Immediately. Doesn't that blow your mind? We all are trying to figure out, how do I do God's will? God's will is that simple. Man makes it difficult. Because the minute you look to Christ and you believe in him, he does things through you that'll blow your mind. And he does, he leads you to do God's will. But all you do is God's will, look to Jesus and believe in him. That's it. Can everybody remember that? This is a very important verse. Very important. So he activates it, right? Okay, so all we have to do is look to Jesus and believe in him, right? But then Jesus had to go through all of the misery for us. Everything. I think that, you know what I'm doing now lately? Is starting to meditate on the cross. Meditate on the sufferings of Christ. Start to really get into it. Because when I do meditate on it, then it starts to activate in my life. It starts to really work. So how did he do it? This is what he did. Hebrews 10, verse 5 and 10. This is how he activated the will of God on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He did this. Perfect. He activated. Nobody else did this. We follow into his will, but he did it. He did the will of God. He ate the food. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Huh? I've come to do your will, O God. First, he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first. What's he setting aside? The old covenant. Sets aside the first to establish the second, his covenant, the new covenant. And by that will, this is activation, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is probably the best way, without me getting involved as a preacher, to explain it. Because I'll tell you something, preachers do not change people, the scriptures do. I'm starting to get it now. Finally, the Bible, as soon as you read it, that is what he did. Right there. He made you holy. He made Johann holy. Holy. Not half holy or three quarters holy. Holy. That's pretty remarkable. So this is the will of God that Jesus activated when he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. He was here to make us holy. So don't try no more. It's a blasphemy. It's blasphemy to add on to what Jesus did. It is blasphemy. You be holy by the Holy Spirit working through you by looking to Jesus. Then he flows through you. But doing doesn't work. Listen, there's one verse I might have told you because we've had coffee together, but it deserves what I want to share, okay? I don't have it. Do I have it? Let me see. No, I don't. So I'm not going to show it to you right now. Okay, here goes. Matthew chapter 9. It came to me this morning when I was preaching in this church. I've always believed it, but I think this is the best way to do it. This here can best be explained with one, listen to this. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. If you got a Bible, you want to follow me because I'm just going to start doing with the Bible. I could fool you. You know, I could make a mistake, right? So follow if you could. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Now here it is. Jesus says this, but go and learn what this means. But go and learn what this means. Then he says, Hosea 6:6. He quotes Hosea 6:6. I don't have it on the screen because it's coming to me from this morning. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. You know what he wanted us to learn? He wanted you to learn, what does it mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice? Go and learn what that means. Do you know what that means? Anybody who knows me good enough probably knows what it means because I've harped on it.
But you know what this means? This means this. When Jesus came, he removed the sacrifices. God never intended the old covenant to make us holy or to even do anything for us, for that matter. He said, I was what? I desire mercy, not sacrifices. He didn't want that. What he wanted was Christ to die on a cross, and he desired mercy. And he said, go and learn what this means. That's why so much legalism in the church, so much legalism in our heart, because we don't know what this means. We confuse it. And God wants it so that you know what this means. That from this point on, everybody in this place, I don't care what you've done wrong.
We're sitting here. Are you sure? Are you sure? I don't know, man. We got a wrong view of God. We need to correct it. Correct it today. Correct it today. So many people, hey, you know one thing I'll tell you? Between me and my wife, I can honestly tell you, my life now, and this is the truth, honest, before God, with everybody in this place, I'll tell you, this is the truth. Just, I think lately, just slowly, I'm starting to really learn what grace is towards me. I'm not talking about I do it in my actions on the outside, but I'm talking about from my heart, that where God says, I desire mercy, I need to get into an attitude of grace with my wife and with everybody in this place, that I desire mercy for you. And I don't. Anybody following what I'm trying to say? I don't desire it for you. When somebody gets me upset, instead of desiring mercy, I'm like, crush them! Crush them! That's a sinful nature. Crush it! And it goes with my wife too. I'm just confessing something. God wants me, if my wife ever had something wrong, he wants me to serve her! Serve her till you die! Have mercy on her! Mercy! Mercy on her! Mercy on your kids! Have it until you're dead! Because that's what I desire. Any other attitude is wrong. Totally wrong. Truthfully, for everybody in this place, the minute you start thinking you're right in any kind of attitude of bitterness, resentment, or anything, you are against the Lord. You're not against man. I'm finally getting it. I'm starting to get afraid of the Lord. Not like I'm crouching, but I'm understanding what it means to fear God. That he desires mercy. And if I go against that word, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And if I go against it, I'm going against God. And I need to really learn to live a life of mercy. Full of mercy and good fruit. Amen? Truthfully, imagine how your marriage would be if you did operate on mercy for your marriage. Imagine. Just imagine if your heart was filled with mercy for your husband. Or for you. I confess before the church, before God, for everybody. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not like that. Hurts me. I'm not like the Jesus I see in the scriptures. But imagine if we were like that as a church and we're moving towards mercy. Man, nobody would be judging each other in their hearts. Or you wouldn't be judging yourself. That's the big thing. Judging myself. Dare not do that anymore. Only God has that right. Even with myself. Am I off? People. The cross is just one big, loud crescendo. Mercy! Mercy! That's what I'm going to heaven, man. Seriously, when I'm ready. It's last breath, man. I'm not going to have any. I remember my heart attack. I'm serious. You don't know. I don't know this. I remember. I thought I was going to die. I really did. And I'm on the table. I'm going to show anybody that I haven't seen.
I just went under the blood real fast. I'm not joking. It's starting to freak me out. I thought I was going. When you're at that edge, I don't care all your theology. Out the window. The only thing you know is I'm going to meet God. And the only thing that saved me was He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. I didn't have to worry about it. I can hear God saying to me, remember, I died for you. You didn't come to me when you were good. You came to me when you were terrible. And I saved you. So when you come to me this way, I will save you.
Hey, isn't it beautiful to be a believer? I desire mercy. I couldn't get away from that verse. That's why when you woke God up, I knew it was from God. I knew I had to change. I had to repent. I don't know how to do it, Mark. Before all the whole church, I'm a very, very rude and arrogant man sometimes. I don't know how to do that. God has to do that for me. He has to take me to another step. Another step. Maybe for everybody in this place, another step. The way we treat our close people. Mercy. And even a look sometimes. We look at people. You ever do that? You look at people. You don't say anything, but you look, and they know by your look. You're judging them. Sizing them up. Even that's wrong. Oh, may God help us all. Eh? Because I'll tell you something truthfully. Why I've been harping on it is that if you don't have a life full of mercy, the lost will recognize it. They recognize it. They know who are legalistic and who's got all the rules. And they know who are very free and very merciful. People, I'm serious. When I'm operating in the Holy Spirit and it's full of mercy, I'm on it all the time. But when I'm operating, people come to me. I'm serious. And remember that guy, Grantley? Grantley, remember that guy, Grantley? And he's my friend now. He told me. I'm telling you the truth. This has freaked me out. I just got a roadie. And he starts spilling his guts up to me. And I'm going... And they're looking around and they're wondering, what the? This guy, I don't know this guy. And he comes to our prayer service on Wednesday night. Did he share? He just shares. It's the mercy of Almighty God that flows through you. People can sense it. They'll open up. And they can sense it when they're bitter and are resentful and everything. They just, I don't want that. Keep that to yourself. But they want that. People want that. People want mercy. The lost want it. They're looking for it. Because they've never got it. Not unconditional mercy. Not from Christ. There's a harvest out there, man. And God, He ate and He activated it. And now He says, here, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Don't worry, just go and tell people. I got it today. I got it this morning. I got it. I don't know why I got it so powerful. You know, you read verses over and over and over and over and over, and then all of a sudden this morning it just went, boom! My heart is I desire mercy, Mom. I just got it. I don't know why I got it this morning, but I can feel it inside of my soul. God is trying to help me. I don't know if He's helping you when I'm speaking. Maybe I'm babbling, but He's helping me, man. He's trying to. He really is. And the minute I operate in that, I get healed. Isn't that neat? I offer people mercy, I get healed. It's so wonderful. God's planned it like this. No judgment, no more. Know that, because you can't handle it. Nobody can. It's so wonderful. I'm so glad I'm a believer. Aren't you glad, man? Oh, praise the Lord, man. He did it for us. And not only that, His will, He finished it. Finished it. The work's finished, you know. Look what He says. When He had received the drink, Jesus said, it's finished. With that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. John 17:4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Together, Jesus did God's will. Jesus did God's work. And what He brought glory to God in a way no human being ever did. But He gave us that mercy. That'll never be taken from me as long as I live.
Never! I can't do anything against it. He's given it to me. It can't be revoked. Another amazing thing. You know what's so amazing about this? This mercy is so amazing that not only does he just have mercy on you, he says, I have mercy on you, but I want you to be with me in eternity. I want you to be with me. I want us to have that much. Why? What, me? You? The God that has everything and owns everything? And he wants us to be with him. I'm going backwards or forward. Let me just show you something. I want to show you this. Yeah. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. What a verse. No, it's not a verse. It's his prayer. It's Christ's prayer. This is what mercy did. Let us go in and be with them forever. It can't be revoked. I get blown away. This is the food that Jesus had, the harvest for us, all our souls. So we can all be with him. I'm not worthy, but he is. I'm so glad that I'm able to preach this. You know, I'm going to tell you truthfully too. Winning lost people, it's not a mechanism. Like, I agree with Olga. I do agree. I agree the Holy Spirit has to tell me what's going on in people's hearts. But I'm going to tell you something. It goes far deeper than that. It is 2 Corinthians 5:14 that God has to make this real in our lives to be personal soul winners. I mean, really. Forget about notches. You know, I say this person, I talk about this person and this person. That's not what it's all about. It's this, for Christ's love compels us. That's so good. That Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore, all died. So this is what it really is. It has to go far deeper than just questions. These people have to see the mercy and the love of Christ just flowing from us. And it does not come from you. It comes from God filling us up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. And when you do get filled, unbelievers see it. They do. As a matter of fact, they want this more than... They don't even know that they need this, but they need this. They're lost. That's what lostness means. They don't know what they need. But we do. They need the love of Christ and the mercy of Jesus. You know, one of the things, if I have the love of Christ, you know, you might think I'm not sort of talking to you. I'm going to tell you something. God, ever since I got saved when I was 25 years old, something really radically went crazy with me. Because if you were in my skin, like if I was in your skin, I could really understand what you go through. Well, you can really understand if you're in my skin. I was trapped like a wild animal. I didn't have mom and dad. I was 15 on the street. And I keep thinking about that. And because I got saved at 25 with my brains okay and everything, and God made me a preacher, I can't help but talk about it. He can save anybody. That's why I'm nuts. Because God filled me with a love and a mercy from him when he forgave me that I need to give it to people. I don't know how I'll transmit this to the whole church, and I don't want to put no guilt trip, no legalism, but I know the key is the love and the mercy of Christ filling your heart. And when you have that, you have a holy urgency, a holy urgency. There's an urgency. I was thinking about this today. You and I, no matter what you go through in this life, I'm telling you, you have a refuge. You can turn to Jesus, and you will. I was speaking in church today, and I told them, you will go through stuff. You will go through some stuff that will shake you to the very core of your being. And I'm not scaring you, I'm telling you. Because that's the way we're living in a fallen world. And because we have a refuge like Christ, we can turn to him. Where does the lost turn? We only think of ourselves. and not the lost? Only our family? Isn't there something wrong in that? When the lost, if they die, they go into an eternity of hell forever and ever. May God, you know, the first thing, I never forget what Bon said to me, Bon, you know what she says to me? This is what she says. 2 weeks ago, God, it's not your word that changed me. Yeah, sometimes you can get really upset too, so I'm hiding it. Well, what happened? It's when God opens my eyes. I'm transformed. God has to open our eyes. Everybody, you have to cry out and say, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart. Let me see what people are like lost. Let me see what you see. You'll weep. We'll weep. Jesus wept over Joseph. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to open our eyes. He wants you to stop trying and pray and say, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. So that I can see people the way you do, Lord, that are lost. You can't get into another person's skin until you really have been there. People that are lost and that are out there homeless, sleeping on those vents, you don't know what that's like. And I'm telling you, you need to ask God, open my eyes so that I can win, so I can have a heart like yours, Lord. Imagine the Lord's heart. Do you understand what he went through to win your soul? Do you understand that he was beaten, that he was mocked, that he was stripped naked, that he was put on a cross, and that he did it for me and you? That is what they call the passion of Christ. And the passion of Christ is not some passion. Woo! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! The passion of Christ is the suffering of Christ. He suffered. He suffered. And Christ's passion is seen in the last days of his life. He suffered. And that's the passion of Christ. And I don't think we get it, how far he went to win my soul or your soul. And when you do understand, it just makes a holy urgency to win the lost. Because if Jesus did that for those people, then what are we doing? God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me get out of myself, Lord. Even honest before the Lord, I'm sitting here. We're family, all of us. I'm sitting here. And Bonnie, she writes me an email to the church. Got dispersion. And I'm sitting down and I'm going, God, don't let me get into codependence. So much stuff going on inside. Help me to live for you, Lord. Because you died on a cross. So, I can't believe you did that for me, Christ. Help me, Lord. Is everybody hearing what I'm trying to say? Even it's hard to say. Get into our own little world. My own codependence. My daughter. I just prayed. I said, Lord, she's yours. I got to preach the gospel. I got to reach the lost. I'm just sharing with you my struggle. You have struggles. I'm not right. I know it. You must. And if you don't have struggles, you're lying. We all do. Every one of us. And God is saying, look at the cross, man. Just look at it. Please. And it'll change your life. You'll have an urgency for the lost. A holy urgency. And you know what? I really believe this. I'm ending. Because I don't want to lose you guys. But I want to tell you one thing. There needs to be that food that Jesus had needs to be in our soul. A holy urgency, right? And we need to work together for the hearts. All of us. Because I'm going to tell you truthfully. If I really believe this can never happen, this salvation, this redemption of the world, all the church has to come together. We all have to work together. Sowing, reaping, everybody has to do it. No fighting, no competition, no competitiveness. We all work. No judging. Mercy for each other. And when we start doing this, then people will start being saved. May God help us to work together. Really work together. I don't even know what to do. All I know is to pray. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of everybody in this place, Lord. That's why I've got people praying now. I know it's the key. The key is not bothering people. The key is praying. The key is opening my eyes. That's why I'm begging you. Join the intercessors. Join me. Join us. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to break through. All of us are going to break through. I really believe that. And you know why I say that? You ever hear that those people called the Moravians? Yeah, the Moravians, eh? 17th century guys. You ever hear those guys? I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Let me tell you a story. You know what? A revival came to the Moravians. Okay? A revival. And do you know what? They had a prayer meeting that lasted for 100 years, 7 days a week, 24 hours. 100 years! Out of it came Charles Wesley, John Wesley, and George Whitfield, and I think Zinzendorf. And that guy memorized the New Testament in Greek. There are people in the Christian church that I'm like a little tadpole in the ocean of redemption. That is nothing compared to some of these people. They died for their faith. The persecuted church died. We don't really know what this means right now. Truthfully, God has to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us a revival, Lord. Give us a revival. Revive the church. Not just the Valley Church. Revive everything. Get us out of our muck. Get us out of it. Let us fight for the souls of human beings. Really, truthfully. I have to start. I have to break the chain of codependence with my children. Break it. I'm going to heaven by myself, and I'm going to bring people in my ship. Break it. Break it now. Break everything that's got a chain around my neck. Are you with me? Well, I'll tell you, you know these guys, these Moravians? There was two kids. I think there were two men. Two men, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what I want for the church. I don't care if anybody preaches in this. I don't care who it is, as long as the Holy Spirit comes down. Really comes down. Really gets this whole church praying. Everybody praying. Everybody seeking the Lord. I'm telling you, something will happen in this church. And these two guys, they were filled with the Spirit. You know what they did? There was an island way out in the Pacific. And nobody could reach it. A slave trader owned the island with a bunch of people on it. And nobody knew the gospel out there. And these two guys said, here, I'm going to sell myself to you for life. And I'm going with you on that island. I'm going to reach them for the gospel. That is being filled with the Holy Spirit. No nothing. No life, no nothing. Dead to self. Totally living for Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit inside of him. I don't have that. I'm asking for it now. Before I die, let me see what the power of God looks like. Really looks like. I want you to pray for it. That's why I've got everybody praying now. That's my last resort. I've tried everything in church. Doesn't work. All the flesh doesn't work. It doesn't work. Prayer works. I know it. I think I'm on to something. It works. Prayer works. It's starting to happen. We're starting to gain momentum. Do you know what these two guys did when they're in the ship? This is the Holy Spirit, man. It has to be. Their family's on the beach. They're weeping. They're never going to see them again. Imagine never seeing your dad again. He's going away. They yell out, let the Lamb of God receive the reward of his sufferings. Imagine that. Let the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering. Who cares about my family? Let him receive his rewards. Who cares if my life is gone? That's a persecuted church. If I die, he gets the glory. That's the way they think. I don't think like that. I'm so far off. We need to pray, all of us in this room. Please, Lord, help us to get to the place where if you anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And what? Daily. Follow me. So far away from the church now. Only my family. God, help us. Would you say, help us, Lord? Help us, Lord. Help us. Let's get into the harvest and pray. I'm not asking you to do anything now. I don't think it works. Pray. Pray with this church. Please. A.W. Tozer's heart, they said, was broken because he wanted this to happen in North America. It's happening in the persecuted church. Why? Because they know what it means to suffer like Christ. I don't want this, but I do want to die glorifying him. Don't you? Don't you? Die glorifying him. And then it would be nice to live to glorify. Pray with me. I don't know what to do. All I know is to pray. And I know it works. And we need everybody on board to pray with us.